Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. And when you get to my site, you can find out more about our good friend Don Lambro, who's with us right now. Don is chief political reporter at the Washington Times in our nation's capital, and he's also a syndicated columnist. Many of you see his byline around the country. He's in dozens of papers all over the country, and he's our good friend. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, Don, as always. Hello to you. And Don, how have things changed since the election in Washington, D.C.? Have they settled down a little bit? Are we getting back to business, or is it still pretty much partisan politics as usual?
Well, we may know more about that when the new year begins, really. It's old business. They're trying to wrap up old business and get a $388 billion omnibus spending bill, which wraps up the appropriation bills they haven't done this year because of the elections. And, of course, they're still battling over the intelligence reform bill. So it's I'm not sure. It's kind of strange. It's not at least on Capitol Hill, a focus on the elections, but more a focus on getting things done that they didn't do all year during the elections. But over at the White House, it's a very different story. And there has been a nonstop series of behind-the-scenes meetings with various analysts they're bringing in from think tanks and business and the industry community to come up with a plan to overhaul Social Security. They're busily working away at setting up a commission to look at the tax code and to reform that. So at the White House, it's very forward-looking while they're watching what's going on the Hill and doing the other things the president has to be doing on foreign policy. And they're very deep into plans for next year.
It sounds like Mr. Bush is not planning on coasting through his next 4 years, doesn't it?
It is not. He said, of course, in his news conference right after the election that he didn't come here to just serve another term as president. He came here to do things. And it's extraordinary the kind of agenda that he has set for himself. And I cannot remember presidency. I think we may have to go back to the Great Depression and the New Deal and FDR to find a president who charted so many big ideas.
Which creates an irony that a lot of what Mr. Bush is wanting to do is to fix maybe once and for all some of the ways the New Deal programs have manifested in the 21st century.
Well, that's right, and of course the number one item on his huge agenda, and it is immense, is to overhaul Social Security, the New
yep.
Deal era. Retirement system, and really the last pillar of the New Deal welfare state. And of course, Bush is going to attempt something that no one has attempted to do before. Talked about in think tanks and libertarian focus groups to begin privatizing Social Security very gradually, and that is an immense reform. But he's tackling it and going where no other president has gone before.
And maybe, I'm trying to imagine how long it would be again before we have a president not seeking reelection, who would have the attitude to make these changes, and who would also have a friendly Congress behind him. How long will it be before we'd ever have something like that again? I mean, this is a unique time in history, isn't it, Don?
Well, it is very much so, and we have Of course, this was the third rail of politics. You touched it and you died. Goldwater suggested it in 1964 that maybe we ought to let people have private Social Security retirement accounts, and he got creamed. So this has never been done before, and this is a great opportunity for the president to do it. It is fraught with peril because you have some big things that have to be dealt with first. How do you pay for the transition costs? But the cost of doing nothing is much, much greater. We have $27 trillion in unfunded liabilities that you have to pay for everybody who is going to be coming on to Social Security and the baby boomers. But if you tackle it, it's going to take a few trillion. But it can be done gradually. It can be done slowly. I was out at the Hoover Institution about 2 weeks ago at Stanford University talking to the analysts about this. I say you don't have to do a huge reform. You have to, you can start, do it slowly and gradually. But once people see the kind of returns they're going to be getting by investing in stocks or bonds and investments, there's going to be a demand from them to expand it, and that's going to happen naturally, and over time, that's the direction you want to take this to solve this huge bill, where there just are not enough workers in America to pay for the millions of baby boomers who are going to be coming on board.
Social Security is generationally bankrupt, and you know the if you look at the generation waves, the baby boomers are about 80 million people. The Gen Xers behind us are about 30 million, and there's just not going to be enough of them to earning the kind of money to pay to, because it's a pay-as-you-go thing. There are no accounts out there waiting on us. Our money that we paid in is not out there. It's already been spent. And I'll tell you, you know, Don, I really don't expect the president to get any more accomplished with Social Security in the next 4 years than just to stem the tide and begin to turn it in a direction that's toward some kind of a way to heal itself. Maybe, you know, and I don't even want to use the word actuarially sound because I'm not even sure that's necessary or that's even possible, but just to at least, as you said, touch the third rail and survive to tell about it.
Well, you've got a lot of people on Capitol Hill, I think, who want to tackle this. The chairman of the two tax writing committees, Chuck Grassley on the Senate Finance Committee, and the Ways and Means Committee, who have supported this in the past. So you've got a Republican majority. The time is ripe to do this, and I think it's going to happen.
Don, stand by. When we come back, I'm going to ask Don a little bit more about the kind of leadership that Congress is going to have to show to make this happen. And then we're also going to talk about the intelligence bill. That's another one that's hanging fire right now in Congress. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Don Lambro is our guest. He's the chief political reporter at the Washington Times.
In a white room with black curtains, near the station.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro, chief political reporter with the Washington Times. Don, give us that website, please.
Yep.
What is that website, Don?
I'm sorry. Say this again.
The website, the Washington Times website.
It's www.washingtimes.com. .com.
Yeah, just pretty intuitive.
You'll get the front page and all the news.
We can find your articles and archives there, can't we, too?
And you can find my my columns and the articles there. And, of course, this past week I worked on a story on Social Security and I'm now working on tax reform.
Lambro, if you want to Google him or look for him in the Washington Times website, Don Lambro. Don, it's going to take some serious statesmanship from Congress, from members of Congress, over the next 4 years and really more than that to make Social Security happen. I'm not convinced that we have that kind of leadership in Congress. What do you think?
Well, it is going to take some heavy leadership, and we have to see whether the leaders how they can handle this. Of course, the president is the number one leader and is going to drive this. He has the mandate. He certainly has to do it quickly while he has the political momentum behind him from a victory in the elections. But we'll have to see whether Frist and Tom DeLay and Denny Hastert and it's going to have to take some work with the Democrats. There's no way to pass this without some support of the Democrats. And in the Senate, you may be talking about, you need a handful. You need about four or five. I talk with some Republican senators, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who has been a leader on this, and he says you're going to have to deal with them. And there's a group that he already has been talking to about what are the things that they would need in this. And of course, the transitioning costs are the big issue. But you have polls showing that Americans, younger workers, really want this. Even the AARP is not opposed to individual Social Security retirement accounts.
As long as they're guarantees for their members.
That's right, and they want to set apart from the funds that are going into Social Security.
Don, I agree with George Will. He and I said this a long time ago. In order to do Social Security right, you got to have an 800-pound gorilla who can cut across all the boundaries, all the parties, and when he says something, people listen. And George Will recommended this, and I agree with him. The only person that I know of that can do that is Alan Greenspan, and he's proposing him to be the Social Security czar, so to speak, and as I understand it. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm not sure. I mean, he already is the 800-pound gorilla, and I think anything other than the position that Alan Greenspan holds would be a step down. You can't have more power than being the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board.
But can he affect this Social Security reformation process as the chairman of the Fed?
Well, you know, he testifies all the time on all of these things. He testifies on the deficit and on the national debt, and he's been warning about these things. And certainly, the debt that we're piling up, the liability under Social Security, is all part of that. And he will testify on that, so he will have an enormous influence where he is. In fact, I would argue he would have more influence.
That's a good point.
From his perch, and
not really get mired in the muck over there.
Yeah. We need him where he is. To hold on to the reins of our currency and our national money supply, and to run the Fed, and I think where he is the perfect place for him at this point.
That's an excellent perspective there, Don. Let's move over and talk about the intelligence bill. Is it going to go through?
Absolutely, is going to go through. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs over. When you fight over a bill like this, and this one is obviously immense and fraught with peril because of 9/11, but there is no way they're going to go home before the end of this year and pass that bill because it would look so terrible.
You mean without passing the bill?
Without passing the bill, that's right. And there are huge questions, of course, whether this national czar over intelligence is the right way to go. You know, there's something to be said for having various agencies competing with one another, and we've had consolidations many times in government to solve problems, and very often that it doesn't work that way, and it doesn't solve the problem. But I think there's enough moxie behind this idea, obviously, and they have to have a bill on intelligence because that was the great failure of 9/11. So absolutely, that is going to pass, and it's going to be signed by the president before the end of the year.
Well, and I agree with the people who, the congressman who said that, we can't let we can't wait on intelligence to clear the drug czar's office, the terrorism czar's office, before commanders in the field take action. And I'm glad we have Duncan Hunter and who's the other one? Sensenbrenner, I think it is, who stood up for those points. I mean, I really believe those guys helped to harden the metal of this bill, don't you?
I do. I think it's a very good point. But, you know, it's grown-up men can come up with the language to make sure that that the Defense Department has the authority that they always have had. And in fact, Rowan Scarborough of the Washington Times wrote about this, and over the decades, both have worked very closely, the CIA and the Defense Department, to cooperate on that. So that is not a problem, and I think it's something that's going to be dealt with very quickly in the next few weeks.
Don, thank you for being here. We appreciate it very much. Looking forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times Chief Political Reporter. with the Washington Times. 29 after, stay with me. I'll be right back with a new friend, Peter Walsh, right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.